Our word for today comes from Luke chapter 22, beginning at the 54th verse. Then seizing Jesus, they led him away and took him to the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. And she looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little while later, someone else saw him and said, "You are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. This is the word of the Lord. Have you ever been betrayed? I mean, have you ever had that feeling of having complete trust in somebody only to have it just fall out under your feet? Have you ever had someone break your trust? Have you ever had someone break a vow to you? Let's ask a different question that's probably more important for tonight. Have you ever betrayed anybody? Have you ever broken someone's trust? Have you ever broken a vow that you made to somebody? I would imagine the answer is probably yes. And I would imagine that is one of those stories you don't talk about. Because there is nothing more gut-wrenching than letting someone down with betrayal. Because what betrayal implies is that there is a trust, there is a relationship established. In order to betray somebody, you have to have a relationship. You have to have an agreed-upon ethos to your relationship. And you fail to live up to your end of the bargain. Probably not one of your prouder moments. Probably a gut-wrenching story that you would love to forget. But the truth is it happens. We're sinners. It happens. And tonight, we're going to talk about how and why it happens. And tonight, we get a wonderful case study in looking at Peter. And so we're going to look just a couple verses before our reading for tonight for what kind of sets up the event. Because if you go back to verse 31 of chapter 22, they're at the Last Supper, and Jesus turns to Peter, who is also called what? Simon. Now it's interesting because Jesus turns to Peter, who he gave the name Peter to, and he says to him, "Simon, Simon." Interestingly, he refers to him by his old name. "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat." Now, for those of you that might not be farmers, let me explain. That's not a good thing. Satan wants to crush him. And Jesus is going to allow it. Jesus is going to allow Satan to tempt him. And so he says this. Jesus says, "But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail." And so you think, okay, Satan's after him. For some reason, he's calling him by his old name here. But Jesus prayed for him, so he's going to be all right. Then you get the next line. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. An interesting three sentences here from Jesus. First, calling him by his old name. Saying Satan is after you. And when you have turned back, implying that he will first what? Turn away. Strengthen your brothers. Now the beauty of this is that Peter, as we know, is going to disown Jesus. It's going to happen. But Jesus predicts it. Jesus tells him what he can learn from this event. And then we know from later in the scriptures, Jesus is going to reinstate him and do powerful things through him. But it's important that we look at what he said. Why does he call him Simon? Because he's about to revert to his old ways. Friends, a lot of times in our own betrayals, that's where it starts. When we decide to revert back to our old ways. When we decide to go back to doing things the way we used to do them. And what's interesting about tonight is we get to study how this happens to Peter. The powerful Peter. This is the one who, when he declares and does his proclamation that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus says, upon this confession, Peter, we're going to build the church. And then in 5:8, when Jesus first shows himself his miraculous nature to Peter, Peter bows down and he says, you need to depart from here because I am a sinner. And Jesus tells him these powerful words in Luke 5:10. He says, do not fear, for I am going to make you a fisher of men. This is the great Peter. This is the man who is going to lead and establish the church after Jesus dies and goes and resurrects and goes to heaven. How can he betray Jesus? How can even he fall? I mean, and we look at his response in verse 33 when Jesus tells him this. He says, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. I'm ready. He's bold. He's making this vow. And Jesus answers him, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. But Peter's bold and he's strong. This is Peter, the rock of the church. And we know that when Jesus is arrested, he's even going to show his willingness to defend Jesus. He chops off the guy's ear. He's ready to fight a whole legion of men to defend Jesus. So what happens? How does this happen? Because just later that night, we get our text for today. It tells us right away that he's following from a distance. Mr. Bold Peter, ready to defend him, ready to go to prison with him, ready to die with him. Well, here's your chance. Peter, get on up there. Stand next to him. Say you're with him. Be bold, Peter, like you said. But here's his major flaw, and this is what we have to learn tonight. How did he get into this predicament? He did not even begin to conceive the power the devil had to ensnare him. He was not ready for his temptation. And even more importantly, he feared. And in fear, we lose hope. And we lose trust. And we begin to rely on ourselves. And we begin to revert back to our old ways. Because so what we see in our text is this. In verse, right away, in verse 54, Peter is following at a distance. He is not up there with Jesus. He is staying a little bit back. And we have to ask this question tonight. Was following at a distance wrong? Because see, that would be our first excuse is to look at this tonight and say, yeah, but all the other disciples, they ran. They fled. At least he followed. At least he was even there. At least he was sort of going along with this. At least he was kind of with Jesus. Doesn't he get any brownie points for that? Isn't it okay to sort of follow? Because that's our question for tonight. Is it all or nothing? Is it I have to be in lockstep with Jesus every step of the way, or not at all? Isn't there somewhere in the middle for me? Can't I choose my own pace? Can't I have moments where I'm all the way up there and moments where I pull back? Isn't that allowed? Because I think sometimes we want to give him brownie points. Because sometimes we want to give ourselves brownie points. But we continue on to see what happens. Because verse 55, it's very interesting. A fire is made, and Peter sits with who? The people. The opponents of Jesus. He sides with the enemy. Because in our lives, the most important thing we will ever notice is this. Whenever we side with men, we make ourselves a prime target to deny Jesus. And so he finds himself a comfortable little seat with the people. Instead of being the bold witness and walking right in there like he said he would and going to prison and dying with Jesus, he tries to appease himself, find a comfortable spot with the people outside. And then he denies Jesus three times from that comfortable little seat. First time he denies that he even has a connection to Jesus. The second time, he denies that he has a connection to the disciples. The third time, he goes so far to say, as he's not even from Galilee. I don't even have a connection to that region that Jesus is from. Leave me alone. See, Peter is not ready to face all of the consequences for his association with Jesus. But bless his heart, he thought he was. He thought he was ready. When he made that bold promise to Jesus that I am going to stand by you to prison or death, he truly meant that. And he wanted to. How many of you can say that in your life? I truly intended to do good. I truly wanted to do good. It just didn't happen that way. And so, because of his fear, he denies even to acknowledge Jesus to these people. And the answer of how you get there is simple. Fear. Fear causes Peter to go back to his old way of thinking. His old way of acting. Causes him to go back to be Simon. And while Peter lies his little tail off to everybody that asks, Jesus' words remained ever true. He predicted that by the time the rooster crowed, he would deny him three times. And sure enough, as the words leave his mouth, the rooster crows. And this is the gospel that tells us that Jesus is actually able, whether it's because there's windows or however it's configured, that Jesus is actually able to lock eyes with Peter in that moment. Can you imagine making a promise at dinner time to somebody that to prison and death you will go with them? And then by about, 4 a.m., you're looking them in the face as you're lying to everybody about even knowing them. Have you ever had a moment like that? Where your betrayal became evident? Where that thing you said you would never do, that you were hoping to hide, that you would hope it never would come to light, comes to light? Where you're face to face with the person that you have just betrayed, having to deal with the consequences? Have you ever had that moment where you know you did it and it's time for the reckoning? And you have to look in the face of the one that you just betrayed. And admit that you did that thing you said you would never do. You said that thing that you just can't get back. Just came out. Nothing you can do about it now. It's a lost and hopeless feeling, isn't it? It's a terrible feeling, gut-wrenching feeling. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. had this line that I absolutely loved. He said this, "In the end, you will not remember the words of your enemies, but the silence of your friends." In the end, you will not remember the words of your enemies, but the silence of your friends. There is no doubt that following from a distance is betrayal. The word betrayal, very simply, to deliver or expose a person by treachery or disloyalty, to be unfaithful in guarding, maintaining, or fulfilling a promise, to disappoint the hopes or expectations, or be disloyal, to reveal or disclose in violation of confidence. And by no means, when we look at what Peter did, does he compare to the great betrayers of all time. You know, we have the classic Brutus who decides that his buddy Caesar is getting a little too high and mighty and decides a little shiv in the back will take care of that. We have Benedict Arnold who doesn't think he's getting enough glory in the American Revolution and so he decides to switch sides and, you know, hurt the American cause. Or one of the most famous, on this very night, the night when he would be betrayed, Judas, the one who betrayed him, who walked in lockstep with Jesus, who was there with all the others, and who for 30 silver coins turned him over. By no means is Peter's denial and betrayal equal to that, right? But the thing is betrayal comes in all sizes, all shapes, all colors, from all people. And even some of the best will fail Jesus at some time. So what about us? Have you betrayed Jesus in your lifetime? I have. I would imagine you have too. Have you ever tried to justify walking at a distance? Have you ever sat there and said, I know where I'm supposed to be, but this is where I'm comfortable with going. This is the pace I'm comfortable at. This is how much I want between us. I will stay even, but this far back. Or I will be okay to go up close, but then pull back when I need to. Has that been you? Have you ever heard people bad-mouthing Christianity, mocking Jesus, mocking people that believe, mocking your own faith? And decided, you know what, I don't really want to be labeled the Bible thumper around here. I'll just stay silent. Because you know what we say in that silence when someone is blatantly saying that they don't believe? You know what we're actually saying? I'm okay with you going to hell. I don't want to hurt my reputation. You can go ahead and go to hell. I don't want to have to face anybody judging me. I'm very comfortable. I care more about myself than you. Quick translation, that's what it is. And that's bitter. That's hard to take. I've had my own moments. I've had my own bitter moments of this, of saying, man, why was I not bold enough to say something? Why did I care too much about myself rather than them? Have you been able to keep up your vows in your marriage? Your promises to your partner? Have you been able to keep up your vows and your promises to your church? Have you been able to keep up your vows and your promises to your friends? and their time of needs, when you sit there and you say, I'm going to be there for you, I'm going to help you, but then you just get too busy, or you forget, or just life gets in the way and you get stuff on your plate. And you have to just admit that you failed. Have you ever betrayed your kids? Made promises that you just couldn't keep? Let them down? Betrayed their trust? Promised you weren't going to lose your temper again? Promised you weren't going to do this again? Promised you weren't going to do that again? See, the truth is that we are all betrayers. Every day. To a lot of different people. But always to Jesus. We all might have the best intentions, but we are sinful people who can't live up to all those intentions. And we try to follow at a pace that we are comfortable with. We say, Jesus, I will follow, but I got to stay back. I can't be with you all the way on this, or I can't be with you all the way on that. There might be some retribution for me saying this, or following in this way, or doing this, or I'm just not comfortable being all in. Well, here's the good news. Peter is our case study for this. You know, I imagine in this life, the people that you have betrayed, very rarely have you been able to reconcile that relationship white as snow. Very rarely have you been able to say, I am sorry, I let you down, and then it's just, okay. But here's the good news today. Jesus looks Peter dead in the eyes. And Peter walks outside and repents and weeps. And you know what Jesus does? Does Jesus say, well, that was your big chance and you blew it, you're done? Does Jesus say, you know what, Peter, I'm just going to move on. I'm going to forgive you, but I will never forget. Is that what he does? I mean, this is the incredible Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we serve, that when we betray him, I don't think there can be a worse act in this world than betrayal of a trusted relationship, of a loving relationship, to cut it out, to take out the feet of somebody and just let them fall into that misery of betrayal, into that heartbreak of betrayal. I don't think there's much more evil thing you could do to somebody. And Jesus, time and time again, says, we're all good. I forgive you. Come on back. Let's dust you off and do it again. Let's try and get back on the horse. I mean, can you imagine that kind of love? Can you imagine that kind of selflessness, that swallowing of your own pride that God must do every time we betray? To say, you know what, okay, I'll put myself out there to get hurt again. I forgive you. Let's do it again. But that's the good news that we get today. That not only does Peter betray him, but Jesus tells him, this entire incident is going to make you a better person because you're going to be able to go and strengthen your brothers. They're going to fall too, and you're going to be able to say, I walked in those shoes. Let me show you how you can get out of this. Let me show you how we can move through this. And then the beauty is that in John 21, Jesus has died and resurrected. He is there right before he leaves to head to heaven, and he stands before Peter. And he says, do you love me? Peter says, yes. Then feed my lambs. Do you love me? Yes. Then feed my sheep. Do you love me? He asks him a third time, and he says, yes. Feed my sheep. And then he says these powerful words just two verses later. He gives him that second chance. He says, follow me. Jesus looks at the man who followed from where? A distance earlier. In his biggest moment of need, in his biggest moment where he needed somebody by his side. In that moment when he stood alone against the world and he expected somebody to be with him. And the worst betrayal anybody could ever have done. Peter let him down. And just 40 days later, he says, follow me. Let's do it again. I trust you. Let's go. All's forgiven. Build this church. Preach to the people. Organize it. Oversee it. Grow this church. All is reestablished. All is forgiven. You're clean. Here's your second chance. But the sad thing is, that's not even the second chance, is it? How many times did Jesus have to forgive all of their stupidity? But that's the beauty of our God. That with Him, there is forgiveness. With Him, there is restoration. Even though we are faithless, He is faithful. Even though we are faithless, He is faithful. We are all like the man with the son who was sick that comes before Jesus and says, I believe, help my unbelief. Help me close that distance that I've been keeping between me and you, Jesus. Help me follow closer. And Jesus doesn't come to us and say, you know what, it really ticks me off that you stay that far back, that you follow at your own pace. He says, okay, I'll help you. Come on. I forgive you. Let's go. You betrayed me once. Come and do it again. I'll let you, and I'll forgive you. That's the beauty of our God. That no matter what we do, our Lord redeems us. We serve a good God, do we not? Even when we follow at a distance, He still loves us and says, pick up that pace a little bit. Come on. We serve a wonderful God. And all God's people said, amen.